I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain.
Welcome to episode 97 of Sean Hammer. Yeah, I'm back again so soon. That's freaking amazing, isn't it? Oh, what's been going on? First of all, a couple weeks ago, it was like Christmas at my house. My Gen Con order came in. I went to the hobby store. Got the Deathwatch Kill Team Codex. Also that same day, I picked up some Deathwatch Kill Team data cards and some dice and the new Death Mask 40K box set. Which does have, in case you didn't know, a little entitled theme here, Death Watch. And some Eldar Harlequins, which pretty damn nice box. I'll go over that in a few. Other things I've been doing, I've been putting together buildings for my snazzy, gotta have an awesome Malifaux table. And I'll take a picture of that once I get my stuff painted up. But I've been putting together some buildings from Foreground. So I have a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different buildings from Foreground. I bought the Malifaux, which also came in the same weekend, Sparks for Malifaux, Mechanized Pork Chop, and we'll get to my chagrin on that one in a minute. Nothing wrong with the models, it's my fault. But anyway, the Malifaux Walkway, the Suburban Prop Set, and I think that's it. I could be wrong, I could be right. McTavish came in, so we'll be covering up, be summing up the little oddball gremlin stuff here in a while. I still think I could go over Summer Teeth Jones, but I don't play or plan on ever playing Summer Teeth Jones, but I could go over whatever with them. But more importantly, as well, my Gen Con order came in, which was my Malifaux Ripples of Fate rulebook or supplement. Pretty damn nice book. It was. I didn't buy the last one. It didn't have Master specific, and I felt like it was kind of like a filler book, and I just never got off my ass and got it. I got the stuff from Gen Con and got my my miss model for that year, but I didn't do the book. Nothing. Even though I'm picking models like Sparks and Ice Dancers coming up out of it. Let's see. I also ordered the Resurrectionist. Resurrectionist crew from Gen Con. I forget what it was called. I don't know. I'm horrible. But anyway, the Reva and her group. And I thought I ordered Zip and the Sky Pirates. And I was so excited, so I was just like, okay, my Sky Pirates. I had my plans. I got some mechanical mosquitoes. I'm gonna throw that chubby gremlin, Maris, I think her name is. I'm gonna throw her in there, and I'm gonna buy Sparks and mechanical pork chop, and there's going to have a whole theme, you know, like this pseudo steampunk gremlins. I was going to get some survivors. No, I didn't do that. I bought the Pin Is Mightier Than box set by accident. So if anyone from Weird or anyone who has one would give me an option to be able to buy it off of them, the Gremlin Sky Pirates, I would love that. Unfortunately enough, I was looking at the guild crew, the new guild crew anyway. So, I was just limited funds, so I just spent it, you know, so I could get my Miss model, so I could get Miss Fire, which I don't know what I'm doing with, so I'm probably going to give her out on a, give her out on an episode, because she's alternate Willy, and I kind of like my Willy the way it is. There, I said it. But no, I got my Willie painted up like my rail crew. And the Miss Model's pretty sweet. She's on a old-time bicycle, you know, with a big wheel and everything like that. And she's pretty cool. I could run her with my Ironsides crew, but I was just like, they're fighting for positions as it is, because to make Ironsides work really good, I think you have to have all three Axe-Furby mages. And I don't know. So, that's what we got going on. So, it's kind of like Christmas at my house. I got a lot of stuff, a lot of plastic I got put together in paint. And it's a lot. So, some terrain, getting stuff ready. And that's it for my last 2 weeks of gaming goodness. Played some HeroClix. I ordered the Chaos Civil War Prize of Century to run with my Dark Avengers. He's pretty sweet. Certainly beat the last model. The last model was really good, but 300 points that you can outwit and do all that crap compared to 160. He can feel a bit more in the Dark Avenger team, and I like the Dark Avengers, which leads me to my next purchase. I bought Ares, which I'm totally happy with Ares. The sculpt looks good, except mine looks like a fat old man because the paint job's weird, so I got paint. Figure that. I got to paint a HeroClix figure that I buy because they're already painted, so I can play. I still got to paint it. But, oh well, what do you do? So he plays really well, and that sums up my Dark Avengers team quite nicely, except I got to try and get Moonstone off of her base so I can put Miss Marvel on it because the legal Moonstone is horrendous looking. And I failed. Oh, and my other HeroClix map came in. The neoprene map. So, like I said, it's like freaking Christmas. So it's pretty cool. So I gotta really clean up my gaming area, clean up my desk, get some shit painted, shit put together. So, today's episode, what we will be going over, I will tell you what came in the Death Mask box set, my opinions of the models in it, and I'll go over the little two kill teams it puts in, and we'll be going over the Resurrectionist crew box set with a little bit extra, because not everything in Gen Con, the box sets, they were complete. I mean, they were complete with what you were buying, but like if you bought the Guild, you needed another reporter that's not out yet. You bought the Resurrectionist, you got another. You needed another creature that wasn't out yet, and so forth and so forth. So, no complaints. Just putting it out there. Alright, so let's go ahead and go over Death Mask. This is a $100-some-odd box. It's a Warhammer box that's not going to come with any dice. It comes with a mini rulebook, a supplement that goes over both armies on the inside of the rulebook. And let me see. It's a nice, pretty supplement, really. But unfortunately, as I consider this my death watch kill team coverage part 2 out of 3, because the first one was with the kill team Cassius from the Death Watch Overkill box set, which are fantastic models. You don't have a lot of play in it, but you don't want them to have play because they are kind of like their own special characters. And I found out there's a book with 11 short stories basing themselves around each of the characters. So that's going to be a purchase in the near future. Now, going over Death Watch kill team compared to Eldar that come in the book, the Space Marines work out a little bit higher points than the Eldar. Space Marines are 730, Eldar 680, so not entirely too bad. It looks worse than what it is when you look at the back of the box set. I mean, back of the box, because it's got, you know, oh wait, maybe it's a little bit more. Maybe I didn't add that other guy in. I don't think I did. Oh well, it could be really close in points. Anyway, because I'm a slacker. Let me add it right back up. So, the box set comes with what I was so happy about. Is that I've been waiting forever since White Dwarf put the Death Watch kill team in the supplement. You can have them in your basically your Marines or your Imperial Guard. I picked up the shoulder pads. They put together my pseudo Death Watch kill team, and they're pretty cool. Love them. I love the whole story about how they, you know, do the whole. Oh, sorry. The Eldar work out to be 40 points more than the Death Watch. So not too bad. So I've been looking forward to having Death Watch Army for a long time. So when I saw that this new box set was, in fact, Death Watch, I was so freaking geeked. So I bought up the box set. It has rule books, nothing else inside except for instructions how to put them together. I want to say it's a little pricey, but I think for what you get, it about evens out, especially if you go to some of these online or Cool City Games, which offers you a 10% army deal. So you got the 10% off the box set. It's pretty cool. In the box set is a special character that's not available in the last supplement I went over. He's not available in the Codex, but he is available here. And we haven't seen him since Inquisitor, the 54mm Inquisitorial game, but it's Watch Captain Artemis. He's ringing at 145. He's a pretty sweet model. Looks similar to exactly the giant model, except this guy's got a cape, and he's got the special snazzy bolter. He's a Watch Captain. Pretty much close to what you expect a Space Marine leader stats, with weapon skill 6, ballistic skill 5, toughness, strength 4, 3 wounds, initiative 5, which is pretty damn good, attacks 3, 10 leadership, 3 plus save, because of course he's in friggin' power armor. He's got power sword, frag grenades, iron halo. All Death Watch have special issue ammunition, which I'll go ahead and do the stats, because this little supplement's laid out pretty nice. He's got Warlord trait, which allows you to change your mission tactics an additional time during battle, and I'll read out those because I've not been playing 40k in a long time. I've put together some Blood Angels and painted them. I put together some Blood Angels and Dark Angels from Dark Vengeance. I haven't played a game in such a long time. Maybe this will get me back into it. I hope so, because I'll tell you at the end of the show what I'll be covering, and yeah, you'll see why. Let's see, he's got Fearless, Feel No Pain 6, Independent Character, Mission Tactics 27. He comes with Hellfire Extremis, a combi weapon, which is his bolter, and it's a Strength 5, AP 5, Assault 1, Poison plus 2. He also comes with a Stasis Bomb, so once per game when he makes a close combat attack, he can choose, instead of making a single Stasis Bomb attack, and he does roll to hit as normal, but resolves the attack at Strength D, AP 1. If the attack misses, however, Artemis suffers the hit instead. Bummer. So that's Artemis. He looks awesome. We got Squad Crawl, which is 5 Tactical Marines, with looks like a pseudo-special character. And I say pseudo special character. He's same stats as everyone else except another wound. And he's got this. Where is it? He has a Xenophase blade, which I'll read that at the end too. That's pretty cool. So you got a 5-man squad. One with a heavy bolter / flamer, heavy flamer. We got a new thing, which is a sniper rifle bolter. So that's pretty cool. And I'll go over special issue war gear probably here and when I do the Codex in my next episode. And we get the next squad, which is your Vanguard Veterans. Pretty cool. Which you would expect guys with Jump Pack to be, but with Death Watch. And we got our Venerable Dreadnought. The Dreadnought. And we have a Watch Force Artemis, which is the whole caboodle on one Watch Force is one thing. They got the Aquala Doctrine, model soon as formation can reroll any wounds to roll and armor penetrations of 1. So that's pretty cool because, let's see. Oh, okay, yeah, so that combines nicely with mission tactics. We got Fighters 1 to the last breath. All infantry units in this force have to feel no pain 6. While they're within 6 inches of Watch Captain Artemis and Watch Sergeant Krull's hatred special that he has, and Brother Galantio's precision strike from the two different units. Their special rules by the other units from the Watch Force Artemis that are within 6 inches of them. So it's popping out little watch, like little 6-inch Death Watch bubbles. Let's see, the missions they have, one guy's got hatred, and the other guy's got precision strike. So those are what you're putting off. And you can choose to deploy Squad Crawl, which is the infantry unit, and Squad Galanto is a single unit called the Kill Team. This counts as a single unit for all games purposes. The kill team cannot split up during battle, even if the model within it has independent character special role. So that's that. So we get on to the goodies of Deathwatch, and we got the Infernus Heavy Bolter, which is a heavy bolter Infernus, which is a range 36, strength 5, AP 4, heavy. It's assault 3 bolter. And it's got Infernus Heavy Flamer, which is template, strength 5, AP 4, assault 1. So that's pretty cool. We got the Stalker Pattern Bolt Gun, which is range 30, strength X, AP 5, heavy 2 sniper, and which is pretty cool. It's all the special ammunition it confers over to the sniper rifle version 2. Now it says that the normal profile bolt pistol and bolt gun, including Stalker Pattern bolt guns and bolt guns, are part of combat weapons. But if we look at the special rules that they got for the squad crawl, the one guy's got Infernus Heavy Bolter, and he's got Hellfire Shells. So, I don't know if you can. I'm not sure. I gotta figure that out. But yeah, the special issue ammunition is pretty cool. We got the bolt, Dragon Fire Bolt. Gives rapid fire, ignores cover. Same thing with the Stalker Pattern. It's the same thing, except it's heavy and 2 with sniper. We get the Hellfire Rounds, which is rapid fire, poison plus 2. Kraken Bolt, which is rapid fire, heavy 2 sniper. It's got the different strength because it's a sniper rifle on the Stalker Pattern bolt gun. The ranges fluctuate 20 to 30 in all these two. We got the Vengeance Round, which is rapid fire, gets hot. And the reason why, we got looking at AP3 on it. So that's technically going to be your Marine killer. The one guy's got a Xenophase Blade, which is a strength as user, AP3. Melee Molecular Realignment Field, which allows, it makes it so successful invulnerable saves made against the blade have to be rerolled. So that's pretty cool, because it's, you're fighting Eldar, and I think the one dude, he's a badass dude from your first points. I think it's Eldrad. So, you know, he's got invulnerable save. I got it. Hellfire Shells. Oh, okay. Let me get to there. I see where they're coming from. But we also have, they have a heavy Thunder Hammer, some of these guys. It's two-handed Thunder Hammer. It's a strength 10, AP2, melee, pulverize, concussive, two-handed, unwieldy. Which is, if the roll to wound attack is a 6, then it inflicts instant death. So you count off multiple models, which I'm assuming you do anyway, but this maybe will help against Carnifaxes and larger things, because they are Deathwatch kill team, and the thing is against Xenos. Let's see. As for, they have Storm Shields in the box, and they're pretty damn sweet Storm Shields, and they have some Power Mauls too. But Hellfire Shells are range 24. They can choose every time they shoot a Hellfire Shell or Ordinary Profile, which is a range 24, strength 1, heavy 1, blast, poison 2. You need blast weapons against things like, you know, orcs and tyranids. That's all I gotta say. For the mission tactics, the Furier tactic, which all these will be allowed you to reroll any ones to hit rolls. Furier will be against troops. Venator will be against fast attack. Dominus tactics will be against elites. Malice tactics will be against heavy supports. And Purgatus tactics will be against HQ units. And it's pretty cool, because your tactics, you pick one at the beginning game, whole force user. You're allowed once per game to switch your mission tactics to tailor if you've, like, wiped out all the enemy HQ already and that tactic no longer plays. You can switch it. And don't forget, Artemis can actually, you can do it one further time. So that's pretty sweet. In box 2, which I would glance over to Eldar, because I'm not really fond of the Eldar, and I sold him already. We have Eldred Uthran. He's coming at 195, and he's two baby spruce. He's a lot of a character put together. He seems pretty insane. I'm not going to go over. I'm just going to go over the box. He's got a unit of 6 Harlequins with a leader. Well, 500 Harlequins with a leader. Another 5 Harlequins with a leader. A Death Jester. And he's exactly like if you bought the Death Jester. So I haven't priced how much these things would be. I can tell you what I bought. Now, we got 2 Eldar Jet Bikes. And we have 1 Serpent's Breath, which is a vehicle skimmer. It is a whatever the hell that thing is. I don't know. It's a got the cannon on the back. Of course, we got the whole Eldar, the thing, how much it costs and everything. So pretty cool supplement on the inside. So let's see, 25. We'll say 25 for the character. I know for a fact it's $25 for the squad. I know for a fact it cost me 50 for the dreadnought, and it's 45 for the veterans. Well, they're all veterans. So, if you were to buy the Death Kill Team by themselves, it's $155. That right there is the cost of the box. Not bad at all. Plus, the models are insane, and I'm going to tell you how insane they are. First of all, the Eldar, I don't know. They look cool. They probably always look cool. The Harlequins really look good. I like them in metal, and the plastic looks just as good. And they're going to be pain in the ass paint. I'm not going to lie to you. So, good luck, Nicholas. So, that's not including Eldar in the mini rulebook. I mean, you covered points if you just to buy the Deathwatch Kill Team individually. The models themselves, Artemis looks great. Dreadnought, man, just looks like a Dreadnought. But he does come with a whole bunch of different things. You don't have to make him with the plasma cannon. He does come with the assault cannon, las cannons. He comes with different plates and heads and leg ornaments that you can put on. So, that's pretty cool. So that sprue is pretty nice for as nice as a dreadnought can be. The regular kill team squad is fantastic. Comes with 17, count them, 17 unique shoulder pads, boss shoulder pads that you can put on your kill teams to make them come from different chapters. Friggin' amazing. Comes with 5 death watch. Can't get greedy here, but pretty damn good. All the guys have a built-in close combat weapon on the back half of their torso sprue. That's nice. Your regular legs that you would expect in a squad. Storm Seal comes with 2 of them and 2 power mauls. I think it's 2 power mauls, maybe 1. Freaking awesome looking storm shields. Half the storm shield is that writing that's on the Deathwatch shoulder pad, that type thing that you got there. So that's pretty sweet. The Vanguard Veterans, I didn't buy a box of those. I just want to do all feet men, and so I don't want to deal with too much with the the jump infantry. But I should have bought box. But the Vanguard Veterans look nice. Unfortunately, on the shoulder pads, there's no embossed different shoulder pads like with the other ones. But that's okay. They give you 17, and you're only getting 10 guys in the box anyway. But 17 on the infantry box, that's quite impressive. But on the watch out for it, because I don't know if it's a mistake by Games Workshop and they packaged these before they printed out the normal. I don't know the normal jump pack squads, but there is no kill team shoulder pads on the inside, so you're gonna have to get creative. And I'll tell you how it looks like you're getting creative. I'll tell you what I bought. But that's the box set. Is it worth $150 max you're going to pay for it? I think so. You're going to pay $150 anyway. Plus, like I said, most people already have a rule book. I had one. My buddy Lynn, I'm going to give him my other one from the Blood Angel one. So you get a rule book, not bad. And you get pretty comparable force in Harlequins to play against them. So it's pretty sweet. Also this weekend, I end up getting the Watch Captain. Pretty static model. Looks nice. I got the Deathwatch Librarian. I think he's just a redo of the Blood Angel Librarian with the Deathwatch shoulder pad on the inside. So, yeah. Cool, though. I don't have the Blood Angel one, so, hey, bonus. I got the dropship, which is lacking a lot of flair, but it's a dropship that has front, 2 doors up front that you can unload stuff from, and it can carry bikes, for Christ's sake. Hello, we'll get there in the book. I got another unit. I got 2 units of foot sloggers, so I got lots of different shoulder pads, and a box of Terminators. Kind of plain Jane on the Terminators. I was expecting a little bit more, but what do you do? There is no embossed shoulder pads for the Terminators, which is cool. They did give you decal sheet for them, so you can add those on. And I'm going to get creative mixing some parts with Terminators from Leftovers Dark Vengeance box set and the Space Wolf one. And possibly, was there Terminators? And yeah, I think there was, wasn't there? I don't know. I have to actually look. Did I even buy? You know what? I may have not even bought the Blood Angel one. I think I did. Maybe it was a Space Wolf one I bought. Anyway, regardless. But about the Terminator set, I was freaking out because there was no Death Watch Terminator shoulder pads for the Terminators. So I was like, oh, what the hell? Inside the box, there's 3 baby sprues. And there's 2 Terminator shoulder pads in each sprue. And like 10 shoulder pads for Death Watch. So, not so bummed out with the Vanguard unit. But if you don't buy the Terminators, you're not going to get the extra shoulder pads. Games Workshop says, we're not going to put them on the sprue. We're just going to put these baby sprues in there. So you have enough for your Terminators. Get on my face, gamers. So, all in all, not too bad. The bikes didn't come out, which I'm looking forward to getting some bikes. And I'm going to buy 2 Razorbacks for my army. And I think that's about it. But we'll cover more when I do the Death Watch supplement later. I'll play some music. But, let's just get cut to the chase. That's my views on the Death Mask box set. If you don't have a 40K box set, buy it. If you want to do Harlequins, it's going to be worth it in there, too. I have no idea how much Harlequins cost, but I can only tell you I know you're going to at least pay close to $100 for buying Harlequins separate for the amount they give you. And you can always sell your Death Watch models. I've seen it on eBay. People want the Harlequins, don't want the Death Watch, blah, blah, blah. Happened with the last 3 box sets, so hey, is what it is. So let's go ahead and start on the Malifaux coverage of Reva and her crew. Now, I went with the Reva because of one thing. She looks freaking awesome. She looks like a nun on a horse. Yeah, that's it. She's a Rezzer, and she's none on a horse. She comes in a box set with 2 spirit with corpse candles, which is okay. Looking models, I mean, you gotta get creative with them, but they are essential in her gameplay. She comes with an exorcist, which I like. I was like, oh, cool. Maybe I have an exorcist for resurrectionist. Well, you do in theory, but not really. Comes with 3 shield bearers, which are pretty cool. They're like little peasants. So this whole Reva thing kind of reminds me of Joan of Arc a little bit, with the shield bearers and Vincent. So that's what you get in the box set. And the reason why I say Joan of Arc is a redder story, and she's basically an undead sympathist. She was held captive. They called the exorcist. The exorcist stole her away, was running from the guild, went into the quarantine zone, came across a hospital that was dealing with patients with consumption. She helped ease the people's passing, so she became a, with her magic powers that she has, so she became a, kind of like a, I don't know, a savior a little bit, you know. And the next thing you know, some zombies came, and they were like, oh, you know, we're zombies, and we want to hang out too, we don't want to hurt people. Although they're not saying it, but they kind of say it in her story, that she can sense what they're feeling and stuff like that. So she starts sympathizing with the undead, and they're doing chores around the house and stuff with the people that come here, you know, handing out gifts and stuff and treating her like a savior. Except this one guy and his buds, they come by and they're like, oh, we're pissed, you know, undead have done this. And she says, no, those were different resurrectionist masters that were cruel, and they used the undead to hurt people, and they don't want to hurt people. They end up being a fight, and she ran away. So she's an undead sympathist. But it's okay. Let's see, she's master living for cash. She got keyword revenant, which matter because that's her thing. Defense 5, 7 willpower, 13 walk, 13 wounds! Sorry, let's start over. Defense 5, 7 willpower, 13 wounds. Walk 5, charge 10, height 3. Now I put her together, I put her on a little scenic base, and you're more than welcome when I get everything all situated. I got to put together and painting her now. I'm going to put all my figures I paint, I do, and I have been putting them on my Sean Hammer Facebook page. So if you want to see these, see the model, you know, like, ooh, go to my Facebook page and you'll be able to see the models as I update. I try and update, like, every time I get something done, and I would like to say it's every day, but it's not. She's got Strength of the Fallen. When performing an attack, if this model is not engaged, this model may draw a line of sight and measure range for cast actions from corpse markers within 18 inches in line of sight. Its ability is ignored when determining engagements. It's pretty cool because she's height 3, so she's going to see over a lot of the battlefield, and so she's going to get a scope of all the corpse markers. Hopefully you put a lot out, but we'll get to something else in a minute. She's got Unimpeded, so she ignores severe terrain when moving. She's got Forgotten Dead. At the start of this model's activation, this model may discard one card and summon a corpse candle within 8 inches in line of sight. Now, these things are movable little corpse counters, but they do abilities. We'll get there in a minute. She got the Final Veil. When another non-PN model is killed within 8 inches, this model heals 1 damage. So she's a self-healer about when things die. Let's see, for her attack actions, she's got Ethel of Reaping, which is a cast action. Range 3, target suffers 3, 4, 5 damage. This model chooses if the attack is resisted by defense or willpower. So you can get around all those nasty defense, you know, triggers and stuff. She's got built-in Crow, and this will give her a trigger of the Withering. Before flipping damage, discard a corpse marker within 3 inches of the target to deal plus 1 damage. So you can be doing 4, 5, 6 damage on her attack. With a mask, it's Crow and a mask. She comes with a Crow. Corpse Calling. After damaging, push target 3 inches towards a corpse marker within line of sight. And with a ram, she's got Stolen Vitality. After damaging an enemy, this model heals 2 damage. So a little bit more life healing for her as we go along. She's got 0 action, which is a cast. Range of 3, target enemy model suffers an amount of damage equal to the amount on which this model's final duel exceeded the target's up to maximum of 5. So you could just be doing 5 damage to somebody once per turn if your cards are right. Not too bad. Tactical action, she's got a 0 action, which is the Dust Drone, which is a cast. Places model in the base contact with target corpse marker, regardless of line of sight. If this happens, this model counts as being in soft cover while in base contact with the target until the end of turn. So it's a little get out of dodge. It comes with a Crow. She got another Crow on that, and it's a rear up after succeeding. And after completing the placement, enemy models with a 3-inch pulse must pass to the target 13 defense duel, suffer 2 damage. So I guess that's a horse kicking up. That's pretty cool. And she's got one tactical action, Look at My Works. Casting of 6 with a Crow and range 5. Place a scheme marker in base contact with a target corpse marker. Discard the corpse marker. With a Crow and Despair. After succeeding, take this action again. So she could, you know, put out 2 scheme markers per turn. Now, we got that what's that word I'm looking for? Anyway, only Reaver can have these next things. So you get 2 corpse candles in the box, which these are Peon, Undead, Totems, Rare 2, Spirit, and Revenant. Defense 2, Willpower 2, Walk 2, Wounds 2, Walk 4, No Charge, Height 2. These are internal dead. Friendly minions may count this model as a corpse. Friendly models may count this model as a corpse marker while performing actions that do not summon models. If the action discards the corpse marker, sacrifice this model instead. She's got the Reaver's Omens. This model may not be hired, and it may only be summoned by Reaver. When the model is summoned, sacrifice all other friendly corpse candles. So, may hire to be summoned. When this model is summoned, sacrifice all other friendly corpse. Non-corpse candle totem, sorry. Non-corpse candle. I was like, what the hell is that? Of course, it's insignificant. It's a peon. It's got a tank action. Possess Flailing, which will do 1, 2, 3 damage. That's it. But it's got tactical actions, which is Light the Way. Push all corpse markers within 3-inch pulses model up to 3 inches in any direction. And 0 action, which is Essence Remains. Kill this model and choose one of the following. Ancestral Visage. Target friendly model within 6 inches gains the following conditions as its next activation. Disguised. Can't be charged. Death Omens. Target enemy model within 6 inches must discard a card or gain the following condition end of turn. Death Omen. Attack actions targeting this model gain a plus. And Blind Sacrifice. Target friendly model within 8 inches may draw a card and then discard a card. The target may activate immediately after the current activation ends as a chain action. So that's pretty cool, you know, you're building up your, you know, building up your hand. Malifaux's all about cards, and you kind of get your, kind of get some movement tricks out of it. Alright, with her boxes are henchmen, which is Vincent St. Clair. He is a revenant. He's 6 defense with a mask, 6 willpower, 9 wounds, 5 walk, 6 charge, height 2. He's got the final veil, same as the other, same as Riva. He's got breathe out to essence. Once per turn, activation when a corpse marker is discarded within 6 inches during another model's activation, this model may draw a line, may draw a card, and then discard a card. So a little bit more card manipulation. That was a real tongue twister for me to read, actually. He's got funeral rites. When this model activates, choose a suit. For the remainder of activation, after both players have opportunity to cheat during an opposing duel, this model may discard a corpse marker within 6 inches and in line of sight to add the suit to its final duel. And he's got wherever you call it, your defense for your defense and your willpower, so with a mask. So he might need it for the willpower to do the funeral rites. After resolving, push his model up to 3 inches so he can screw somebody out of the rest of their flurry attacks or something and get the hell out of a dodge if you're being shot at. This guy here has only got range attacks. He's got his profaned crossbow, which is range 10. Its target suffers 2, 3, 4 damage. This attack ignores incorporeal and hard wound. When randomizing into engagement, this attack does not flip for friendly spirits. And you say, oh, Sean, there's no spirits. We'll get there. With a crow, what she comes in is unhallowed strike. Attack deals 1 damage for each corpse marker within 3 inches of the target for up to a maximum of 2. Repenting crossbow with a tome. After damaging, immediately take this action again. Can't declare triggers. And with a ram, nothing wasted. After killing an enemy model, add 1 soulstone to this crew's pool. Not bad at all, because that, soulstones and cards, that's what this game's about, man. He's got 0 action, light at the end. Target model gains the following condition to the end of the start phase, this model's next activation, or until this model is removed from play. Whew. At peace. This is the condition it gets. Damage suffered by this model cannot be reduced or prevented. And it's got a built-in mask with a mask trigger. After succeeding, move this model up to 3 inches. He's got 1 tactical action, which is funeral pyre. Target a corpse counter, or a corpse marker, and place a blast in base contact with it. Any models touched by the blast must pass a target 15 walk duel or suffer 2 damage. That may not be cheated. That may not be reduced. Discard the corpse marker. So, kind of like a little bomb. They say funeral pyre, I say corpse suicide bomb. Anyway, he's got some, triggers. Tome cremation after succeeding, place 2 blasts instead of 1. And with a crow mass grave. After succeeding, don't discard the corpse marker. Ooh, if you could cheat on both, which one would you do? Last model of the group is the Shield Bearer. Now this guy's kind of weird. Defense 4, 6 willpower, 4 wounds, 5 walk, 6 charge, height 2. 4 wounds for a 6-point model, but in essence, you'll see it's actually 8 wounds, and I'll get there. This model is chosen. If this model would be killed, and it does not have the Spellbound Soulbound upgrade attached, it is not killed. It heals all damage and attaches the Soulbound upgrade, ignoring all restriction, then places a corpse marker in base contact with itself. So it's allowing to put your corpse marker that you died, and Riva, you know, it's all about the corpse markers, and you rise up. And I'll read out first, right after this, the Soulbound upgrades. This thing has vigor. When friendly models within 6 inches use or discards a soul stone, this model gains fast, and you get armor plus one. I was hoping it would be armor plus two because it's a man-sized shield. Man-sized shield. They get salvage sword, so these guys are poor. 2, 3, 5 damage. Built-in crow, with a double crow, dismember. After damaging an enemy, place a corpse marker in base contact with the target. Remember Reva still, even though she might be doing things for good intent purposes, she's still a resurrectionist. And with a ram, shield press. After failing, the target suffers 1 damage, so it's like a little bit more. And speaking of that, she's got a shield slam attack. Target suffers 1 damage and pushed 2 inches in any direction. So, yeah, shield smash. Tactical action, sword and board. This model gains one of the following conditions to the start of this next activation. To the death, damage flips this model makes, gaining a plus 2. And not today, this model gains a plus 2 defense. So you can be looking at possibly a 6 defense minion model. Not entirely shabby. So let's go ahead and see. Let's do the soul upgrades first. Because that threw me off. I was like, what the hell? These are 3 upgrades, which is 0. And basically what it's doing is we have another purpose. This is Soulbound Rare 2. When this model may not be... When it's put on this model, you get... You can put one of these upgrades on them. We got another purpose, which this model may not be... This upgrade may not be discarded or removed, so you can't shoot off a Hans. This model gains the following abilities. Powerful Soul. This model has the Revenant characteristic, then it gains the Spirit characteristic and loses the Living characteristic. So, anybody who dies and gets a soul thing with this is all going to become a spirit. So, you know, so that plays in the fact that Vincent's crossbows, he doesn't have to flip. So when this model is killed, you may discard a card, add 1 soul stone to your pool. So after it's killed again, so you gain the spirit characteristic, you add soul stone. We got the Gift of Death, which does the same 2 things, but finish the job when this model is killed, and may place a scheme marker in base contact with itself before it's removed. And my fight is not finished. Soul Fire. After an enemy model kills or sacrifices this model with an attack action, the enemy model must pass a target 14 defense duel, or the model's controller performed a 2-3-4 damage flip against the model, and then it may not be cheated. So, your shield bearer, armor 1, can be defense 6. When it dies, we're talking 8 wounds, gains the spirit characteristic, and gets these abilities tailored to how you want to put them. It is like literally... Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I don't really know what bad to say against it. Let's see. Vincent St. Clair's got an upgrade, which is Deal with Death. This model gains the following ability from the shadows, and he gains the following tactical actions. Retreat to cover. Discard a card. Push his model in 4 inches any direction. And this action can be only taken when it's engaged. So that's important. This is the 1 point. You might as well say Vincent is a 9-point model, because you're going to need to put that in, because he only has a ranged attack. You want to be shooting with Vincent. You can only shoot with Vincent. I mean, I guess you can do the other one. Let me see. You can do the funeral pyre close by if you want, but that's it. It's attack actions. Only if you're ranged. And now, Reva's got 4 upgrades. She has 2 limiteds, which you're only going to pick, well, one of these 2. One is the Curse of Death. This model gains the following abilities. The Guides of Death. This model may benefit from the strength of the following ability while engaged. And Ever-Burning Candle. After determining initiative at the first turn, this model may summon a corpse candle on the enemy half of the board, not within 8 inches of enemy model. So it kind of like gives you a corpse candle that's a for free without summoning it. Just boom, you put it out there, kind of like from In the Shadows. And she's got Beyond Death, her other one, which gives her Regeneration plus 1, which is money. And this model may gain the following trigger to its Ethereal Reaping attack. With a crow and a tome, Screaming Death. After succeeding against the enemy model, instead of dealing damage, this model takes a charge action against a different target. This charge may be taken while this model is engaged and ignores line of sight, terrain, and other models during its move. It can be taken once per action. So it turns her into a little bit more of a... She's Barney Badass. For Rezzer, she's pretty melee based, so that's pretty good. She's got Bloodmark, which will she gains the following tactical action. Target other friendly model that's not already targeted by the action this turn is pushed 5 inches any direction. Then, if the target is a spirit or revenant, it may take a zero action. Not bad at all. And the reaping trigger on that, needing a ram. After succeeding, the target gains the following condition to the start of this next activation. Death follows. The model counts as a corpse marker for the purpose of the strength of the following ability. So, you'll be... She can attack through you. She can attack through her own guys. As long as they, you know... She's just cool. She's cool like that, man. And the last one. She's got this model's following trigger to its ethereal reaping attack. Damage from this attack may not be reduced. So, So armor, it reduces. No. Hard wound. Well, that doesn't really do it. But soul stones... Was it soul stone prevent? I don't know. Damage prevention reduced. Yeah, I guess it could. But that is Reva in a nutshell. There is one other model, which will be for her group. And I haven't even looked at him because I don't have him, and I'm gluing these guys together. But one day he'll be out. He's a Draugr. This is 8 revenant horror minion undead model. Yeah. I'm not going over it. I don't have it. It'll make me mad because I want it. I want to know. I want to complete my Reva crew as it goes. Models look cool. My whole theme on the bases is going to be graveyard. Big surprise, right? But they're looking pretty sweet. So that's 1/3 of my Gen Con order and my purchase at the hobby store of last week. That's it. Next up, you can expect some Deathwatch Kill Team coverage with a Codex. And that'll probably be a whole episode. Then I'll cover Nelly's the Guild's Pin is Mightier Than box set because I got it. I was going to get it anyway, so it's not hurting me much. The story's freaking pretty cute. I like the choice of henchmen it has in the story and why it comes in the box set. So sorry, I just hit the thing that I already hit. Anyway. Sorry about that. Check out my Facebook page at Sean Hammer on Facebook. Like it. That'd be great. Go ahead and send me an email at Sean Hammer, the number 9, at yahoo.com. Give me some ideas what I can do to give away this Misfire model. And that's about it. Well, I hope you enjoyed. And until next time, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
alone.